All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. So in this show, we are going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it. Today is Monday, February 6th, and stocks fell on Friday, but the S&P notches a fourth weekly gain in 5 weeks, so that's great. And this week, we have more earnings and Fed Chair Powell speaks again. Plus, there's a golden cross for the S&P 500, so what does it mean? Can this rally continue? And most importantly, how are we trading these markets? And there were a few opportunities today that we want to show you. By the way, if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Hardcutter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And we are real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience and we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. If you're here and looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And yeah, after this weekend, what's happening in the markets, Mark?
You know, Marcus, like you said, it was a nice week last week, even though we finished lower on Friday. And I mean, gosh, what do you expect after such a strong start to 2023? Who wouldn't take some profits here? I mean, you have the S&P up over 7%, the NASDAQ up 5 weeks straight, just an impressive start. So things did open a little bit lower. We're down a little bit as we speak. But I mean, after such a strong start, it's really to be expected, at least in my opinion.
It sure is. And I mean, let's not forget that on Friday, the jobs data was much worse than expected. Or should I say it was way better than expected. But we're still in this weird good news is bad news cycle. Because, more jobs were added. The unemployment rate still sitting at a 50 plus year low. And this is where Powell said last week, well, we're still concerned about the jobs market. So this is where trader thought, maybe that's not too good. And maybe the Fed might be raising interest. And on Friday, it looked much different. But right now, it seems that everything is kind of back to normal, what we have seen over the past few weeks, right?
Yeah, interesting shift, because I think that with the strong jobs report, I mean, it was a very strong job support, really a surprise. And the way that the probabilities were shaken up Friday, I'm surprised that that didn't hold up. But you're right, Marcus. So looking at things this morning, it's what traders have been pricing in all along, at least for the last 6 months, I think it was.
Yeah. So the next meeting coming up here in 44 days. So that's a long time. We have lots of economic reports until then. But right now, Fed Fund futures traders are pricing in a 96%, 97% almost probability of another 0.25% hike at the next meeting. And then one more. So these would be the couple of increases and then holding it at a fairly high level here.
And with a strong jobs market, are we really in a recession? Does the Fed really need to continue to raise rates? I mean, these are great questions, and it could be that Powell shed some light on this coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, so looking at the economic calendar of what to expect this week, the economic calendar is super, super, super light. I mean, I said this week will be all about the Fed. So Fed Chair Powell is speaking tomorrow. Then we have Fed member Barr speaking also tomorrow. Then we have Williams and Waller, also Barr again on Wednesday. Then we have on Friday, Waller and Harker speaking again. So, I mean, we will hear a lot from the Fed members. It seems that they have a lot to say this week.
True. And with the reaction to the Fed statement last week, I imagine that there's quite a bit that they want to say. I don't think that they expected the market to react the way they did. And we'll have to see what Fed Chair Powell says tomorrow and if he stirs up the market or not.
Yeah, he's probably sitting there and saying, guys, didn't you hear me last Wednesday? Come on. I mean, how could you interpret what I said as dovish and that we're all good now? We're not. But I mean, this is where, again, traders already pricing in the couple of hikes that he said. And holding it at elevated rates for quite some time. And traders believe that quite some time means until the December meeting. I mean, that's what we are looking at right now. So let's see if Powell clarifies anything and says no. So I think that he will sound way more hawkish tomorrow to really say, okay, guys, if you didn't hear me, let me be very clear. That's what I expect. Yeah.
I think he's just going to say, I hate you guys.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Come on. What can I do?
Yeah. All right. So we're also still in earnings season, but I mean, earnings season is winding a little bit down. So we have half of the S&P 500 companies reporting earnings, and now we have a few others trickling in. So this week, the most notable ones are tomorrow after the close, Chipotle. Then we have Wednesday after the close, Disney. Then we have on Thursday, Pepsi and PayPal. I think these are the most notable ones, but it's not like when we had the last weeks that everybody was waiting for Microsoft or everybody was waiting for Tesla or like last week, everybody was waiting for Apple and Google and Amazon. I mean, I want to say Disney is probably the biggest one that traders are waiting for, but not with bated breath.
Yeah, I mean, we're more than halfway through earnings season and profits for S&P 500 companies are on pace to be 2.7% lower for the fourth quarter, this according to Refinitiv. So we're past the hump, or almost there, but with the biggies like Apple and Amazon and Alphabet, Tesla, with those companies out of the way, there could still be some earnings reactions, but I think that last week was that big, huge push for earnings.
Yeah, I really believe that the big one will be tomorrow, Powell, that could move the markets, and otherwise we will see what other news are happening. So, but technically, we have the golden cross on the S&P 500 chart. Let's talk about that for a moment, because that's very significant.
It is. And so this is where funds and just some long-term basic technical analysis, you have a 50-day moving average for shorter-term trends and a 200-day moving average for longer-term trends. Here you have the 50-day moving average in blue, the 200-day in red. We've talked about price being above these levels, but now you have the 50 crossing over the 200, which could be a bullish sign.
Yeah, because if we look back, whenever that happened, so here, this was in July 2020, and we had this massive run. Then we had it here after the crash that we had in December or towards the end of the year in 2018. So it happened again in April 2019, and we had this run up. Before that, if we look at this, we had it basically in 2016. And very, very, very rarely prices were diddling around. I mean, we saw this in 2015, where, let me just zoom in here, where we briefly crossed above and then fell all the way down. So if we want to compare the markets to 2015, there is still a possibility that we take out the lows right now that we made at 3,500. But I mean, we would probably have to dust off the good old Stock Traders Almanac and see how many times after we had a golden cross here like this one, the markets just kept rallying. So this is definitely something to watch this week.
So since 1950, there have been 37 golden crosses, and 1 year later, the S&P has been higher 78% of the time.
78%.
So just like the January effect, there's so much data, and of course, anything can happen. It doesn't mean that it's a certainty, but with January finishing higher, with this golden cross that has occurred, if I was a betting man, the markets are going to move higher from here rather than going back into a bear market.
You are a betting man, but you took the wrong side of the bet, because I was betting that we will close about 4,500 by the end of 2023. And you took the other side of the bet. So, I mean, don't say that you're not a betting man. We have a bet going on here.
I had to take that side of the bet. it was just too good not to pass up. Plus, I could double or nothing my tomahawks that you gave me last year. But I mean, it's just, yeah, after you have a big down year like you had last year, when you have a positive start in January, you know, we just typically don't see, you know, these horrible back-to-back-to-back lousy years, and the beginning of the year is a fresh start, and that's being positive. But then also you have technical data like a golden cross take place also helping things out.
Yeah. All right, let's take a look at our positions and then also at a few opportunities that are available today to trade. So first of all, let's talk about the Google, because wow, last week was crazy, right? I mean, Google was jumping higher. You had shares assigned at 104 and you sold the 104 calls. And then I believe it was on Wednesday, we were scratching 108 after earnings first, massively down, but then also moving all the way up to 108 before settling lower. And I mean, you had sold the covered calls against your existing position at 104. And then on Friday, we closed at 104.78. So curious minds want to know, what did you do? Did you roll it? Are you still in Google, or did you let this one go?
Well, there was a question or comment about whether or not 60% on a roll is ever possible. And I mentioned in the comment section that yes, indeed it is possible. Typically we're looking to roll at 60% on Thursday or Friday, and it's easier to achieve when the stock is trading near the strike that we've sold. And on Friday, it was possible to get 60% on a roll. That would have been some really nice premium, but I decided to let those shares get called away. So I'm no longer in a Google position, and I feel good about that. I'm happy to move on, free up that buying power, and look at new opportunities.
No, I hear you. And I mean, I'm assigned at 108, so a little bit higher than you. I sold the 108 calls, and this is where I thought, okay, if it closes above 108, I'm also done with it. It didn't, so they expired worthless. Right now, Google is trading at 102.38. So let's take a look at the calculator. Earlier today, it was possible to sell calls at 108 for 30% annualized. Right now, we are 19%. So I decided to just wait a little bit, because earlier today, it looked like Google would turn around. I mean, Google was off to a strong start. Let's just take a look at a 5-minute chart here. So if you look at the first 15 minutes when we were trading with our masterminds, it looked like Google was just ready to fill the gap and go back up to 105, maybe even 105.50. So I was waiting for this. But ever since, as we can see, Google has been moving lower. So no selling calls for me just yet.
You had a chance this morning, Marcus.
And I chose not to take it.
We'll see.
All right. The other position that we are both in is CTRA. So CTRA this morning moving a little bit lower. So right now we cannot sell calls against our shares that we got assigned at 26. I mean, my break even is at 24.86. I'm not planning to sell below my cost basis and above my break even. I really want to wait until we move back higher there, Mark. What's your plan?
Yeah, I don't think that we need to do anything extreme here. It has been behaving like a nice wheel stock, able to sell calls a few times, but just kind of trading in these lower ranges, more between 24 and 25 rather than 25, 26, which would really help out with selling calls. So at this point, I'm sitting tight, and we'll see if we could get a little bit of a bounce this week.
Yeah. Now, two interesting stocks popped up this morning that we were looking at, one of them being Lululemon. And I think we already talked about it last week. So earlier today, the 300 strike was available for Lululemon. It's a little bit high looking at where it has been trading, but I mean, not bad at all. P ratio below 50, which is our criteria, not paying a dividend. But just looking at the fundamentals, it looks actually very decent. So here are the quarterly fundamentals. Here are the annual one. So, I mean, that's definitely a possibility. I was considering it, but closer to the 300 level. Would have loved it if Lululemon would have moved it a bit lower, and there's a possibility at around maybe 290 or preferably even 280. But that's definitely a possible maybe candidate, right?
Yeah, yeah. I like the lower strikes myself, but a solid maybe.
Yeah. And the other one, when we were trading with our masterminds this morning, one of our mastermind members said, hey, take a look at Oxy here. And Oxy earlier was falling, and it was super, super interesting because the 58 strike was available here. And that's something that we both looked at. You even looked at the 57 strike as we were falling.
Yeah, we didn't quite get enough premium at the 57. I was seeing if that was a possibility. So it wasn't quite high enough there, but the 58 had a great premium. Now we see with Oxy going flat or even positive for the session, the 59's popping up.
Yeah, so this worked out great. I got 26 cents here. You got actually 30 cents, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, and right now the 58 is trading at 19 by 21. So, I mean, we're both already nicely up. You're up, almost 30% on this one, right?
Yeah, so, nice start for the week.
Really, really nice start for the week. Absolutely. So now one of the things that we also talked with our mastermind this morning, because we have the asset correlation where we say, well, we don't want to trade highly correlated stock. And CTRA is an energy stock and so is Oxy, right? So let's bring this up here because this is where it's really, really surprising that Oxy is not that highly correlated to CTRA as you would think it is.
Yeah, and you know, anything above 0.5 starts to look correlated, right? So this is orange for a reason. It's in that warning zone for us, something to keep in mind, but not as much as you would expect. And Marcus, you could bring up like Chevron or XOM, ExxonMobil, just for reference. And you see that with these stocks, these oil and gas plays, you start to see much higher correlations. So CTRA and Oxy just not having the same correlation that you might have with some others.
Yeah, and this is why it's so interesting that you need to have the right data. And that's what we always say, trade what you see, not what you think. Because, I mean, you would think that they are highly correlated, but they are not. And that's why we have this mantra. By the way, before we continue, do you guys find this helpful as we are walking through the trades and showing you a little bit behind the scenes of how we are doing it? Because if so, give it a like, or even better, leave a comment and let us know what you think about
it. Or subscribe.
Oh, subscribe if you're not yet subscribed yet. There you go. Okay. All right. So looking at what's happening here right now, it seems that markets are really diddling along. So I'm looking at a 5-minute chart of the S&P, and we are pretty much right there where we opened. So we were moving a little bit lower, a little bit higher, still down 0.5% for the day. NASDAQ, very, very similar. So kind of a very directionless day so far. And this is why we took advantage of a few opportunities here.
Yeah, looking forward to a great week.
Yeah, and tomorrow will be the interesting one with Powell speaking. So stay tuned. And if you would like to learn more about the wheel strategy and how we are trading it, there's a video that explains it very briefly. So check it out and leave a like, and then we'll see you again tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.